95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, in the big chair once again on WBCK for another edition of Coach's Corner, coming to you from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue to do that as we talk about the big game from last night with our first coach of the morning. But first, here is the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. Last night, in the only playoff game in the city, Harper Creek saw its postseason come to an end with a 29-8 loss to Edwardsburg in Division IV playoffs. In the area, in a battle of eight-player division powers, Climax Scots lost a heartbreaker to Mendon 58-50. That game was 50-50 in the last minutes, and Mendon scored with 5 seconds left to win the game. Union City earned only its second playoff win since 2011, beating Hanover Horton 42-13 in Division 7. In Division 6, playoff football, Olivet beat Buchanan in 49-15. And in Division 7, also Bronson lost to Schoolcraft 28-14. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Ford Lincoln.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick of the Battle Creek Inquirer back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our first coach of the morning, Coach Pesetti of the St. Phil Fighting Tigers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, when we last talked to you, you still had one game left to play Saturday night last weekend, and you were going to face Burr Oak. And you guys played them at CW Post Field. You fell short of that game and lost 50-34. You end your season at 5-4. Some highlights from that game. Colt Myers had another big game for you, 180 yards of rushing and 3 touchdowns. He also added a 75-yard kickoff return for a score. And Brady Lightfoot came up big for you with 95 yards receiving and a score. Some big plays on defense. Myers had 18 tackles, and Chris Gaiano had 17 stops himself. Let's talk a little bit about how that game kind of went. It looked like a high-scoring game back and forth, and then Burrow kind of had the edge in the end, right?
Yeah, well, they got out on us early. And, you know, we finally got some things figured out and straightened out, and we scored at the end of the third quarter, and then right at the beginning of the fourth quarter, cut the game, to lead to 6. And, you know, we were feeling pretty good then, and, you know, we were playing well, but then they put together a drive, and they scored, and then, you know, they scored with 1 second to go to make it 50 to, because I wouldn't call time. You know, we were still trying to get the ball up back, and, you know, they ended up scoring, but it was no big deal. The game was over, and they, you know, give them credit. They, when we did things to stop them, they reacted to it, and they made the changes, necessary changes, and they, you know, we knew going in we were going to be in a bind. With their speed, we were going to have trouble. So we did our best to keep them from getting outside. Well, then, you know, they'd hit us inside, and it was a point with our kids, we couldn't stop both. You know, we had to pick and choose, and we tried to go with different defenses, and it worked for a while, and then they wised up to it, and they hit us places where we weren't ready.
That ends the season, like we talked about, at 5-4. You got to like how your banged up, bruised up crew played all the way through the season to the last play. Like you said, they were in the game there to the last quarter, and they did not, and they fought all the way, and the fact that you were underhanded, a lot of the season, and we're going with 10, 11, 12 players sometimes. Talk about that crew and how grateful you are for those guys to fight all the way through the season.
I'm real grateful. You know, we're proud of them, the way they played. They, you know, they could have folded up real early. But, you know, it wasn't the biggest thing, I think, is the willingness of every kid on that team to play wherever needed. you know, we had tight ends playing guard. We had tight ends playing running back. You know, on defense, we had people playing all over the place. And, you know, they're okay, you know, wherever you need me, which is, you know, we were so proud of these kids, where they were just willing to step up and do whatever was needed.
End up with a 5-4 record, and if you were to get that win at Burr Oak, might have been 6-3, then you had an outside chance to make the playoffs. The way it kind of turned out with the playoff points, it's a smaller field, an 8-player football in each division, only 16 teams, and yeah. Maybe even at 6-3, you probably wouldn't have made it there. It would have been real tight.
No.
But you had the chance going into the last week of the season, and that's all you can ask for. And
yeah.
So a group of seniors that have been playing with you for all 4 years, for most of them, and that's an era of guys, and it must have been hard for them to walk off the field the last time for that group, right?
Yeah, well, we always talk to them about, you know, if this is something that I learned, you know, as a young age from my dad when he coached me. You walk off the field, if you can say that I did everything I possibly could, then there's nothing to feel bad about. You're going out here to play, to have fun to begin with. You know, we talk kids, you know, I talk to them after the game, you know, get your heads up. You know, like I said, you can walk off the field saying I did everything I could. Then don't feel bad. Don't feel down. And they did. You know, they did everything they could. So there's nothing for them to be sorry about, except for, you know, a few of them, it's their last game.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Colt goes on, possibility of another one, but for most of them, it's their last game. So, yeah, they were disappointed in that way, but not disappointed in how they played.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, they can't be disappointed in how they played. I guess the emotions are that they're not going to be able to put the helmet on again for a lot of those kids, and that can be tough on them when that kind of settles in, and that's the case. That senior group, let's talk about some of them a little bit and what they kind of meant to you guys. For a lot of those 4 years, they kept the program above water because they were the bodies that you needed on the field, and then they did a good job of that, right?
Oh, very good. I mean, you know, we had Colt, Brady, Lightfoot, Cole Myers, and Nate Rappelje were there for 4 years. You know, and it's one of the things we talk about. You know, you have to have consistency. You know, you have to, you know, have experienced players. And then we had Sawyer Weiss and Chris Guyona were there for 3 years. So, you know, we had five kids come back with a lot of experience that we could count on. And, I mean, you can walk into a season where you can just start. You don't have to do a lot of teaching, a lot of things like that. You can get going. It just makes you that much better because you're ahead of schedule. And it's nice to be able to just, you know, step on the practice field and get going.
That might not be the case next year. You have some young guys coming to take on those spots, and you're going to have a lot of shoes to fill there. But you have some young players that had nice seasons this year and made some progress. Let's talk about some of those guys a little
bit. Well, you know, some of them, it was because they were forced to. You know, but like Benny Nelson, he's been with us 3 years. He'll be back next year. And Brogan Lightfoot, he's a sophomore this year, but he stepped up real big for us this year and played a lot of different positions. You know, they're going to be counted on a lot for next year. You know, and we had some freshmen this year that, I mean, they gained a lot of experience. So hopefully, you know, when they start back up next year, it's just, you know, they can move forward and they don't have to fall back and be retaught everything.
And some younger players in the middle school, I know that program is growing a little bit for you, and you have some hope there that you can get some more bodies. Is that right?
Big eighth grade class. Right. Big eighth grade class. And, you know, we had some of them working out with us throughout the last summer. And, you know, they're capable of playing. And, you know, there's a couple of them that, you know, people say you bring eighth graders up to football. No, never. You know, wouldn't do it. Don't want to put an eighth grader against a senior. That's ridiculous. But a couple of these eighth graders, when they come up next year, they're going to be capable of putting. We can put them on the field, and they're going to be. They'll be able to play. So
it's a nice season all around for the St. Phil Fighting Tigers, and no season can come together without a lot of help. You had a lot of help from your coaching staff, and a lot of help from support staff from the school. Let's talk about that group of people and who you want to thank for this season that's coming.
Well, You thank your assistant coaches, but you got to thank their wives too, you know, because they're gone a lot. you know, Dave Downey came back this year to help to run the offense, and you know he's gone. If it's a Saturday game, me and him are still gone on Friday nights, you know, out seeing somebody. So he's away from the house a lot. Brian Schaub, who's been with us forever, you know, all the kids love Coach Schaub. And then Chris Rabbit came back. He coached with us a while back, and he came back to help with run the offense with Coach Downey this year and did a great job. But he came back, and like people ask you, how'd Chris do it? It's like he was never gone. He just stepped right in, and like he hadn't missed a beat. So it was great. We've all known each other forever, and it's just fun to be around. And so, you know, you thank them, and like I said, thank their wives, and then you know, our staff at school. They do everything they can to help us. And, you know, Stacy Lightfoot and Vicky Groh, they'll go out of their way to help, you know, get players. They help us get players out, too. And they make sure everything's set up and ready to go for us, and we appreciate that. And there's you know, at St. Phil, everything's volunteer, so there's just tons of people that you need to thank, and you're never going to get them all. You got chain gangs, you got our bus drivers, you got the people that do the scoreboard and stuff. You know, there's just all kinds of people, and I always want to thank them. And our junior high coaches, they do such a good job. I talk to our junior high kids all the time, and they just love their coaches. So, you know, they do a real good job. And they were, 5-1 this year, so they had a good year. So, you know, you gotta thank them, too, and Tommy will be here next week. So, you know, I don't know if you can actually thank everybody because there's so many of them.
Right, right.
But, you know, you want to thank them. And there's some, I don't even know their names.
Yeah.
So, because you know, I know a couple guys on the chain gang, but I don't know them all. I know, right. You know, one of the guys in the press box, I don't really know. But, you know, you want to thank all those people because they go out of their way to do what they can to help us out.
Well, another season in the books for the St. Phil Fighting Tigers, end up 5-4, and a big off season for you guys to try to fill some shoes and get things going for next year and get ready for some more 8-player football next year, Coach. Yep. All right, thanks for coming down all season, and we'll be talking to one of your assistant coaches or your sub-varsity coaches next week as we finish up the football portion of Coach's Corner. Thanks a lot.
Right. Thanks,
we'll be back,
Bill,
with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick of the Battle Creek Inquirer back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next coach of the morning, Coach Lauren Granger of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We had season ended last week for Battle Creek Central. You guys finished out 1-8 and were a young team by the end of the year. Not a lot of seniors on the field for you. Let's wrap up that season a little bit and talk about that group. The fact that a small senior class, and that kind of hampered you all year, but it was a senior class that you could lean on when you needed to for some leadership. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too. 1-8 season, most people probably think, well, you can't wait for that one to be over. And obviously, I'd be lying if I said that never crossed my mind throughout the course of the year with all the struggles that we had. But then it's over, and it's like, man, it's like a downer, you know. You hate to see a football season end, no matter how it goes. It's just the greatest time of the year, really, for those of us who are involved in it, and especially for the kids, you know. And you speak of the seniors, you know. You talk to them when they're freshmen, and you say, "Man, these 4 years are going to fly by. They're going to be over before you know it." And they don't believe you, and then that moment hits when they realize that's the last time that they're going to walk off the field, and it's like, you know, they're trying to run backwards all of a sudden almost. There's a level of panic that you see in their faces, and that's maybe the hardest part. Is I know what that feels like, and watching them go through that and the realization that it is in fact over. And you know, there's a couple of guys in that senior class that really for the time that I've known him, everything's been about football. You know, California Bay and John Contreras, everything's been about football for those two. It didn't matter what season it was. They were in the weight room in the winter. They were out conditioning in the spring. You know, all summer long, they're out on the field. They just couldn't wait for football season. And what do you do now? You know, so that's kind of part of our challenge as high school coaches, is trying to help kids figure out what they're going to do when their football season's over, or when their football's career is over, because for a lot of these kids, it's like, you know, it's the highlight of their life and they're that age. And so, you know, trying to figure out what the next step is for those guys and having a plan for the next stage of life. And it's just, it's something you do every year, but it's just one of those feelings that you never really enjoy getting to. And so it makes it tough.
Yeah, John Contreras played on the line for a real long time for you, several years, and a real leader on that group. Let's talk about him and what he kind of meant to that group in terms of trying to keep them all on the same page, and a young offensive and defensive line that you needed some help there for those guys, and you needed some leadership on the field, right?
Yeah, John's a big reason why we have such a strong group of linemen coming back. He is a natural leader. He doesn't say a whole lot, but he just leads by example, and he really is a big piece of the culture with the linemen. We have a great group, couple classes coming behind him that are doing things a certain way because that's how John led them to. And John was undersized his whole career, but he had the heart of a lion, and he really was a physical player, and he took pride in putting his hands on other people's kids, and that's, you know, like that's the tagline that we use, you know, to try and promote play up front. And he really took a lot of pride in it. He took it very serious. And, you know, a lot of kids, all they care about is, when do I get to touch the ball? When do I get to score a touchdown? And you know, John's mentality was, when do I get to have the opportunity to pancake somebody, you know? And so just a shift, you know. We haven't had that in a few years up front, and John brought that with him, and it's carried over. Those guys are all in competition right now to find out who won the pancake award for the year. That's like a moment of pride for them, and it's I love it, you know. And John needs to get a lot of credit for what he brought to the table there.
And California Bay, he's the player that we talked about all season in terms of having the biggest high profile in terms of high ceiling. And he has some options going forward. And let's talk about that a little bit, what kind of season he had and then what his hopes are right now.
Yeah, Cali is – he's a recruitable – he's a kid that's got a couple offers already, probably a mid-tier Division II player. But really wouldn't be surprised. I know that Ferris State and Grand Valley both have him on their board, so to speak, but neither have offered him yet. That's kind of the upper echelon of Division II football, and if he were to hit that, then, you know, there's probably some Division I's that would come in and try to steal him, if I'm being honest, because both those schools have Division I kids on their rosters. But, you know, as it stands, I think he was really impressed with the way that his Wayne State offer came to him, because he didn't have a whole lot of interaction with that coaching staff really a year ago. He was kind of off the map, so to speak, but we went to a 7-on-7 there with Sound Mind, Sound Body. My friend Curtis puts together, Curtis Blackwell. He always invites us, even though it's a Detroit showcase, or like the one school that's not in Detroit that gets to come to his little showcase. And that was at Wayne State this year, and we were on the sideline, and their linebackers coach was watching us play, and he came over afterwards and he said, "Who's that kid right there?" And they offered him on the spot. And it was a natural process that you don't get to see very often anymore. It's almost like social media driven, and all right, who already has offered? Well, I'm going to offer him too. And, you know, to watch it happen naturally like that, where a coach was just standing on the sideline and just felt like he just discovered a kid, it was pretty awesome. And I think, you know, Cali felt that too. He really feels like that coach has a lot of interest in him from his own eyes and not just what other people have said. And so we've taken a visit there together, and hopefully soon his his parents will be able to experience a visit with him there too. And I think it would be a great fit for him. He's a natural competitor. He's a great football player, and we used him in so many different places. We were on an all-region meeting the other day, and I was talking about him, and I said, man, we used him at linebacker. We used him at defensive end. We even used him at safety. We used him at tight end. He took snaps at quarterback once. I mean, running back, it was like you could put him anywhere. He even played some offensive tackle last year. It didn't matter what you needed him for. He was ready to compete. And I don't know who wouldn't want a player like that on their roster.
Well, we turn the page, as we do every year, and then you're going to have some young kids who got a lot of playing time this year because of that small senior class. And that is the benefit of having a small senior class. And that can come to fruition next year in terms of having some players a little bit more experience. And we'll talk about a couple of those kids that you see that can highlight that group.
Yeah, for sure. Probably, you know, the freshman class, it has a lot of talent to it. We have four of those kids that started on our varsity team this year. And Sir Paris, LJ Campbell, Jordan Rowe, and Amir Luckett all started at one point, or most points, really. But, you know, there were a couple of them got injured early on. And even Trey Harvey, a fifth freshman, got snaps on the varsity this year and got a little bit of experience there. So it's interesting because you rewind the clock just 2 years. We were the only school in the city of Battle Creek that was playing in the playoffs, and everybody was talking about Harper Creek and the young team that they had and all the promise that they had, and look at what they've done now. You know, they had an excellent season, and those kids grew up and just they played great football, you know, by the time they got to their senior year. And you know, it runs in cycles in high school football like that, and I really feel like the kids that played a lot for us that were young this year have a chance to be really good just like that in a couple of years, maybe even next year. I mean, it just depends, really depends on, you know, what their commitment level is in the off season and how much they compete between this football season and next football season. We're a coaching staff that encourages them to play multiple sports. We don't want them just sitting around not competing in the off season, so... You know, do they wrestle? Do they play basketball? Do they run track? You know, all those things. And so I think there's value in them competing in other sports. So, yeah, a lot of promise out of those guys. You know, Kamari Williams, our big fella up front, he's not really a young guy. He's a junior, but he comes back, and he'll be the leader of our offensive line and our defensive line. And I think he's ready to step into that role. You know, his teammates voted him a captain this year. Even as a junior, and I think he'll be a great player for us. So a lot of young guys coming back. We're really excited about what we have in the future.
And no football season comes together without a lot of help from outside those players, and you have a nice coaching staff that you can lean on, and then all the support staff beyond them. You have some people you want to thank in that group there.
I do. You know, I really couldn't do a lot of the things that we do for our kids without Christy Goins. She kind of leads our gridiron club, and I don't know why she still does. Her kids have been graduated for a couple of years now. Matter of fact, her son's a senior at Siena Heights playing football right now, and even though she's traveling every weekend and she's got a big role at Kellanova, but she's still out there serving our kids meals on Wednesday nights and organizing all the parents for that. Lori Clemens, Chris and Melissa Kretzinger are a big part of that. Big thanks to all those guys. Amanda Ritchie does a lot of that work too. And I know I'm forgetting somebody that's probably upset that I'm not saying their name, but we have a number of parents that really do a lot for the kids, and we're very thankful for them. We also had some community partners that came along and said, hey, we'd like to feed the kids, you know, restaurant owners and stuff. And I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Mitts and Pitts did a couple of our meals. And, oh, my Lord, their food is so good. I mean, it's like I had to walk out there a couple of times and tell them, you know, I had to do it more than once because it was just so good. But, you know, those kind of things drive a great experience for kids and make them feel like it's a family atmosphere, and we're very thankful for all the work that they put into that.
Well, we turn the page, and we'll be talking about a big offseason for you guys. Some getting some of those kids up and running, those younger kids. And we'll talk to your JV coach next week about that. And thanks a lot, Coach, for coming down all week, all season long. And it's been a lot of help. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Yeah, thanks to you, Bill, for all you do to promote high school
you
football,
betcha.
Too.
It's fun times here. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
EK. Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick. We're here with our next coach in the morning here, Coach Mason Converse of the Harbor Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Harbor Creek was the only city team in the playoffs last night. They played in the Division IV playoffs against Edwardsburg. They were at home at the Beaver Dome, and they fell short 29-8. It was a season of high expectations that I thought was going to go on for a couple more weeks after this, but ran into a good quality Edwardsburg team last night, and things didn't go your way. Let's talk about how that kind of went. And it was a game that kind of set the tone early with both teams kind of were going to dominate the ball on the ground and try to eat some clock, I think it looked like.
Yeah, well, first of all, congratulations to Edwardsburg. They deserved a win. They played really well last night. They're a championship program. And we talked last week that every team in the playoffs is good, and they were very good last night, and they outplayed us and absolutely deserved the win. So congratulations to them on a victory and continuing to move on.
The way the game kind of went early, Edwardsburg scored first, 8-0, and then you guys had a chance to match them in the first half, and you drove the field, and on a long drive that you had three fourth downs that you converted, so you kept the ball and kept things going forward and get down there, and then a key fumble there late sent the game in a half, still down 8-0. How big was that scenario right there?
We knew it was going to be a game of a few possessions, actually very similar to our Hastings game was our thought process. And when you play teams like Edwardsburg or like Hastings, anybody that runs the tee, even us to a certain extent, we're going to try and keep the ball away from the other team's offense. And we got the opening kickoff and drove down, converted one big fourth down in minus territory that was critical for us, and had a third down right around the 50-yard line. If we would have picked up even half of that yardage, we would have gone for that on fourth down too. But they made a nice play off the edge of the blitz and caught Jesus from behind. And so we were third and 13 at that point. So we really had to punt. And our punt team came on, did a really nice job, pinned them deep, and got the ball about the 9, somewhere right around there. So we had them deep in their territory, and our defense stepped up and did a great job the first two plays. They went backwards the first two plays, and they were sitting right around 3rd and 13, 3rd and 14, actually. So we were thinking, hey, things are going our way. And then they hit a trap inside for about 27 yards. So, and that hasn't happened to us all year. Again, playoff football, everybody's good, so give them credit. They made a great play. They trapped probably our best player in Ricky Johnson, and maybe just trying to do too much at that point. Had him in another third down and pretty long. That just reset the chain, start over again. And had him in another third down right there that next series, and they were able to convert that with trap again. So you've got to be able to stop the trap. We talk about that all the time, and we were not able to do that last night. That was their get out of jail card. They were better at running it than we were at stopping it. So they went down the field and scored. And we jumped off sides on the extra point, which made them go for two, or that allowed them to go for two, and they converted it. So it's 8-0. And like you said, then we came back down and we answered. You do have to answer against a team like that so you don't fall behind. And we got it going, got some momentum going, kind of got the jitters out. Our kids were nervous going into the game, and that's something we've got to get better at in the future, is not being so nervous in big playoff moments like that. But they're kids too. So we started getting into the flow of the game a little bit, and we're going to go in. I think it was about a minute to go. We didn't want to give them the ball back, so now we'll go in. Our plan is to go in and be tied 8-8, and yeah, just a critical gut-wrenching fumble on about the 3-yard line going in. And again, we have not fumbled the ball all season. We haven't lost a single fumble. And so to have two of them last night, that's out of character of our kids and not normally what we do. And we just didn't play our best last night, and that happens.
So down 8-0 at halftime, then it's critical for you to get the stop on the first possession of the second half. Edwardsburg has the ball, and like you said, it's exactly like the Hastings game where you guys, if you score on the first drive of the second half, it kind of puts the game away in a lot of aspects. But so Edwardsburg had the ball, and you had a chance to stop them, and didn't. When they go up two scores, that really puts you behind the barrel and made you do some things that maybe you weren't didn't plan on doing at that point.
It's just tough to catch up at that point because we know they're going to keep away. So we had two possessions in the first half. I guess technically we had three because we had one there, Hail Mary there at the end of the first half, but really two possessions in the first half, and we knew it was going to be something similar in the second half. And so to not be able to stop them, again, to fumble the ball going into halftime, not being able to stop them, now they're up 15-0. We need to come back down and score, and I think, I'm going off memory here, I think that was the driver. We stalled on a fourth down right about midfield. So we got stopped on a critical fourth down there too. So give them credit. I mean, they're linebackers. We knew on film and from scouting them that those were two of the best linebackers we've seen all year. They were every bit as good as we thought they were, and they gave us trouble all night. And we were able to move the ball, but not consistently enough to play championship-level football against a team like that. And so then they stopped us on four downs and went back down and scored. Now we're in real trouble because we're down 21-0 or 22-0, whatever it was. And I'll give my boys credit. We didn't quit. Came right back down the field and scored. Got the 2-point conversion. Went for an onside and you know, didn't get it because those are low percentage at that point in time. And just couldn't get it going again.
Yeah, they took the 22-0 lead with a minute gone in the fourth quarter, and the clock was against you, and the possessions were against you at that point. So fell short. But it was a season to remember. Nevertheless, a league championship season, an outright title, a group of seniors that have played a lot of football over the last 3 years and 4 years for some of them, and disappointing last night for all of them, but a real nice high school career for all of them. And when they can step back from this a little bit, I think we hope that they can wrap their heads around that.
Yeah, so again, this is, life doesn't always go the way you want it to, and you get gut punches when you least expect it. And we came up against an opponent last night who had hopes and dreams just like we do, and they hit us on the chin and kept punching. And I told the guys afterwards, I said, listen, this is going to sting for a little while, and it does when you get knocked down, but they will be, it doesn't take away from the season they had or the careers they had, and to be 8-2. To be league champions, so we hung another banner, those are the kinds of things they're going to look back on and remember. It's not necessarily going to be the playoff loss or anything like that. So, and hopefully down the road they'll be, once this wears off, the adversity will help them be better men and better husbands and better business owners and employees down the road. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do, because we're playing a game, and in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter that much, but it does right now because it hurts. They put their heart and soul into it, really, for the last 4 years. If you go more recent times since June, really committing to each other, working hard. I mean, we've been at this now for 6 months, and they didn't want to be done. We didn't want to be done. It's been a special group to be around, and I'm really proud to be their coach and just disappointed that we didn't play our best last night, and that happens from time to time.
Yeah, the group of seniors on this team are maybe too many to mention, but we'll talk a little bit more about this whole season next week when you come back for Coach's Corner and wrap up the year. But a couple of those seniors that really put it on the field last night and played big games in their final outing. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Ricky Johnson and Zach Kitchen have been 4-year starters for us, and it was hard. It was hard in the locker room hugging those guys last night, knowing that, I mean, it's, they've been with us forever. It just seems like they're just going to keep coming back. And I'm sure other coaches are like, whew, thank God those guys are done now. But guys like Braden Bass, Brendan Van Sickle, Nate Jackson, I mean, they've meant so much to the program through the years. Jimmy Leamy, Jesus Macedo, who's been a 3-year starter at quarterback, Matthew Winsauer, Blake Wagner, Nehemiah Wirt, Demarion Ashley, I mean, Carson Doherty, those guys have continued to work hard, set the tone in the weight room, do the right things in school, and there's more seniors than just that, but those are some of the guys that we talked about in that article during the week, and again, couldn't be proud of them because not only are they good football players, they're great human beings. And those are the kids that are really fun to coach and the ones that you know are going to be successful in life.
Well, we'll break down the Harbor Creek season in totality more next week with we have Coach back. But thanks for coming down here, Coach. Congrats on a great season.
Right? Thank you.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Brett Vernon of the Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
We talked a little bit last week. Lakeview finished up the season 2-7. And this week we have the coaches back, and we talk about all the people that mean a lot to the program and all the group of people that help them get things going, including a special group of seniors that you kind of had to say goodbye to last week. Let's talk about first that senior group that you had to say goodbye to and what they kind of meant to the program the last several years.
Sure. It wasn't a huge senior class, as I know a couple coaches before me, talked about, but obviously, whenever you have a group of guys that come through for 4 years playing football for Lakeview, it's always sad to see those guys go, but it is also a natural process that it's always going to happen every single year. So hopefully those kids enjoyed their time at Lakeview, and hopefully wish them the best as they go on to whatever they're going to do after school, and enjoyed having them, and of course be missed just like all of them before them. So
you are trying to build something here. You're in the second year. This is your second year at Lakeview, and you're trying to build something here. And when you do that, you're really leaning on your underclassmen, and you're hoping that they are getting their heads wrapped around the program that you're setting up, and then you just keep taking steps forward year after year. But you have some younger kids that you're hoping to take a big step this summer. You can talk about a few of those guys.
Very much so. I'm excited for our junior and sophomore classes. I think there's some kids that are really love the game of football and have put in a lot of time in order to get themselves stronger. I talked at the beginning of the year about how our weight room numbers have gone up, and those are the kids that numbers have gone up in the weight room. Some of our offensive linemen that are going to be returning, the Frank Buffard, Jimmy Boykins, those two guys are going to be tackles again for us next year, and two of the strongest kids in our school, and look forward to seeing what another year of weight room stuff can do for them. This sophomore class, that we had a lot of sophomores playing varsity football this year, a lot of meaningful minutes, a lot of them are starting, and those kids hopefully we'll see some great growth in them as we approach next season. Obviously gotta continue getting stronger in the weight room, and the next aspect room. But we need to, lower those 40 times, lower those shuttle runs. We got to get faster in that aspect. And, I think we got some kids that want to do it. And as Coach Granger said, we want our kids playing multiple sports and competing and raising that level of compete throughout the season. So I'm going to be coaching wrestling. Highly encourage the kids to get out and wrestle, play basketball, do those things in the winter. And the same thing in the spring, get on out there, running track, playing baseball, just be competitors throughout their high school career. So highly encouraging that, and hopefully the kids develop athleticism through those other sports, staying in the weight room, getting strong and getting faster, and see what next year can bring.
And as we talked to the other coaches about, no football program kind of comes together without a lot of help from outside. Those players, your assistant coaches, and the support staff beyond them, I know you want to thank that group also. Right?
It's always too many people to thank, because there's so many people that are out there. One guy that I want to, the guy that's been around, and I'm sure he's had the conversations, Matt Miller, helping out in the weight room with us, twice a week, been a great help there. And then your administrative, your athletic director, the secretary, athletic secretary, they both are, putting a lot of work, just set up home games and making sure buses are on time, doing all that stuff. So those those two are, you know, extremely integral to having a successful season. And then, you know, parents that set up team meals, those parents that are helping out in the background that are, you know, needed to get a football season done. You know, you thank those people. You know, thank the fans coming out and supporting us. And, you know, for a 2-7 season, you know, we always had some decent crowds out at the football field there, and you know, I was extremely thankful for that. And then obviously, you know, all the, you know, the water boys, the Jane King, the announcers. I mean, I know I'm missing some, but you know, just extremely grateful for people that want to help out and help the football program move forward.
Well, it'll be a big off season for the Lakeview Spartans as things come together and try to get going and take the next step with the program. And we appreciate you coming down every Saturday to talk about Lakeview Spartans. And we'll be talking to you again next year. And we'll be talking about some more success going forward. Okay?
That's the plan.
All right. Thanks, Coach, for coming down. We'll be back here and wrap things up for Coach's Corner after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
On 95.3 WBCK, proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick of the Battle Creek Inquirer here back on Coach's Corner as we wrap things up for this weekend, this final time that we have the head coaches in for the varsity football teams this week. And next week we'll have some of their sub-varsity teams coaches come in, and we'll talk about how those programs have come together, and talk about their JV and freshman levels and how things are going. Following that, on November 16th, we'll be off at Coach's Corner, but on November 23rd, the basketball coaches will come in for the first time for Coach's Corner, and we'll be breaking down that preseason look at all those teams as the basketball season for boys gets started on November 25th for that week. Thanks a lot for listening to Coach's Corner this week, and thanks a lot for all the varsity football coaches that came down all season long. And we'll be back with Coach's Corner next Saturday. This has been Bill Broderick, Battle Creek Choir, and this is WBCK 95.3 FM.